I'm going to explain to you how in Southern Nevada, the health district has created two entirely different workplace adult working vaccine programs. The first is what we call health cards and involves a hepatitis A vaccine. The second is what we call the workplace vaccination program, and it mostly entails hepatitis B. But what you have to know is Las Vegas is really a boom town. It always has and probably always will be. Because 60 years after its inception, we had 400,000 residents in a small area of Clark County. Now, because of this, and this is what makes Southern Nevada very neat, unique, is that because of this, the State Department of Health created separate jurisdiction to the Southern Nevada Health District of Clark County, so they can actually make a lot of their own mandates. Because of this, they created the Southern Nevada Health District. Now, together with state, they created the Nevada Revised Statute for Food Handlers. This entailed that anyone who worked or operated a restaurant had to have a health card, including, at that time, they included TB testing. So the Southern Nevada Health District began issuing those health cards with the TB testing. Now, just 30 years after that, we had a total of 1 million residents. We more than doubled our population. Huge growth throughout the nation. Now, on a federal level at that time, I want you to understand, OSHA created the bloodborne pathogen standard. Now, also on the federal level, we're outbreaks for hepatitis A were just enormous. And of those outbreaks, Nevada was second highest in the nation at 32 per 100,000, quite a large number. Now, because of this, the Nevada Restaurateurs Association and the health district went to the County Department of Health and asked that we could change from doing TB testing to giving hepatitis A vaccines. It was approved, and in 1999, we began giving the hepatitis A vaccine with the health cards, which really was a huge improvement. Wait till you see. Now, just 15 years after that, it's now 2007, we have 1.9 million residents in Las Vegas, and we have an estimated 50,000 undocumented working adults. But we've also, at the same time, we've been issuing these health cards, and remember, we've been giving the hepatitis A vaccines. Our hepatitis A rate is now 0.05 per 100,000. We're super proud of this. This is really incredible, one of the lowest in the nation now. But we also have, as you can see, 39 million visitors a year come to Las Vegas. This is more than the entire population of New York. Imagine that from all over the world, come plop themselves in Las Vegas, and then disperse throughout the world again. This is opportunity for a lot of things to happen. So because of that, we have these 39 million visitors, though. They can choose between 348 hotels to stay in, 15,500 restaurants to eat at, and I'm sure 15,000 are like Starbucks. But because of that and our 1,200 daycares and schools, we estimate that we have approximately 500,000 working adults at risk for hepatitis B. Now, because of that, we started the workplace vaccination program, giving the hepatitis B vaccines. So I want to go back first, and we're going to talk now about the hepatitis A and the health cards. As you can see, the hepatitis A rate has dramatically decreased. Super, super proud of it. But at the same time, notice we're giving out 150,000 cards a year at $50 a piece. Obviously, very, very, very self-sustaining. Now, because of the burgeoning population, we're not having problem giving these out. They're widely and easily available, these health cards. They do cost $50 each, but we do give out vouchers. Vouchers are given out by different nonprofits, Salvation Army and such as that. We do bill the nonprofits for the vouchers that we hand out, though, at the end of the month. Now, in addition to that, they do have to see mandatory food handling movies and such, and we evaluate them onto their hepatitis A status. If they need the vaccine, we give them one vaccine at that time. Because of the high efficacy of the hepatitis A vaccine, we do not revaccinate them until they renew their card in 2 years. And we also have a photo ID, and this is Dustin. But one of the issues with that, anything that you have a mandate, it says issue it, it says it's going well, you have to have a way of enforcing that. Because we created the mandate, we created the environmental department that inspects these restaurants, we control every aspect of that, and it works very well. Our inspectors check annually and randomly as needed. Now, part of the inspection is that they get a demerit. If one person or 20 people are missing a health card, they get a demerit. Now, they get a demerit for all the other things, fresh grease, you know, all sorts of things. We, as the health district, do not have any legal recourse, but what we can do is we give them enough demerits, they're downgraded. And then with that downgrading, we impose a fine for them to be reevaluated and upgraded. So that's how we get that. But we also have a very loose association with our police department, and they, being police, can issue citations, and they do issue them. They can issue them to either the employee or the employer or both, up to $500 and up to 6 months in jail. And they will issue them if there are other issues are going on at that time. They also investigate fraud and counterfeit, but I'm going to get that at the very end because there's a big issue on that going on. So, also I'm going at the end. But anyway, on the issues of counterfeit, we have a centralized database, so when they hire them, they can actually call them in and say, this is the number on the health card, is it a valid health card? We have a problem with non-compliance. The uncooperative, not really, but the expired cards, yes. So a lot of large facilities, they have an auto lock so that people can't clock in unless the supervisor comes and verifies their health card and then they put that back. And it's working super well. We also have what I like to call super compliance. A lot of facilities, because when we get big conventions in, they pull housekeepers and this and that to help, or if they transfer from department to department, they're having issues with that, so they just require all their employees to have health cards. Walmart is one of the facilities that does that. If you stock in sporting goods, you still have to have a health card. And the Venetian, they have all their housekeepers are required to have health cards. So, and it's working, we're really proud of this, it's working so well. Now, because this is so successful for us and so self-sustaining, we've actually had other professions come to us and ask us to issue health cards for them. Among them, the body art, you know, the tattoo, body piercing people, massage, barbers, reflexologists. So as we saw how well this worked and how well the mandate backed us up, and because we're still remembering these 500,000 working adults that are at risk for hepatitis B, this is where we used the OSHA regulation for bloodborne pathogens and created the workplace vaccination program for hepatitis B. But I don't know if you're that familiar with OSHA, probably, but I want to tell you a few things about OSHA. OSHA has target areas, both national and local target areas, and these are all based on lost time injury logs. There are national and local ones, and the locals usually have a different name for it. But national target areas for bloodborne pathogens, and these will be anywhere you live, are hospitals, laboratories, daycares, and funeral parlors. Our specific local ones for Las Vegas or for the Clark County are hotels and casinos. This does not necessarily apply to anybody else. But besides, you can't, when you follow the bloodborne pathogen, you can't just go hit everybody up with a hepatitis B vaccine. There's lots of things they need to do about it. They need to have the written program. They need to have medically trained people available, the declinations. The vaccine has to be readily available, and they have record keeping. They must keep records for all this. So what we decided to do when we created our social marketing plan is we decided to follow the OSHA target areas, but within that, use our own target areas of the employers and the employees, our strategy being direct consumer education. As you can see, our messages are going to be education and the economic benefits for everybody. But we all know in social marketing that education alone is not going to make people change, because we all know we're supposed to eat better and we don't. And we all know financial gains are going to help make change. But by themselves, they really don't make much of a change. That's why we followed the OSHA mandate, because this gives you the backbone. This gives you the oomph to get out there and do what you need to do. So when we went to reach the employers, we found that there were a few issues. We found that, believe it or not, they were unaware of the OSHA regulation. I mean, it sounds surprising, but they actually were. They didn't understand the difference between hepatitis A and hepatitis B. They didn't understand the seriousness of the disease. And if they did, there were some companies that really did have a good understanding of that, but they had a problem with their records. They have actually, because of the large size of some of our resorts, they had thousands upon thousands of records that they don't know what to do with. So when we marketed to them, what we did is we started with the mailings, and this is a copy of one of our brochures. And we followed up, and in the brochure it would talk about the OSHA regulations, and it would talk about our program, about the hepatitis B vaccine and the record keeping and different things like that. We also followed up with phone calls and face-to-face meetings with them. And if they didn't, when we talked to them, the ones that didn't understand about the regulations, we referred them to SCATS. Now, SCATS, if you don't know, is the Safety Consultation and Training section of OSHA. They do services for free. They go out to a company and they evaluate to make sure that they're meeting all the regulations. And if they did understand about that, they did have the program in place, we talked to them about our part of the program, about the vaccines, about how we go out, and about how, or they can come in, and about the billing and the record keeping. We also worked on developing some partnerships, and our greatest partnerships are, of course, with the SCATs, since everybody's being referred to them, and our own environmental department. These are the people going out and inspecting the restaurants. Both entities really put employee health and safety first. So they are really good people for us to partner with. Now, when we went to talk to the employees, we found the same things were true. We found they didn't understand the difference between A and B. I mean, I'm not even mentioning C, but they had no clue about the difference between A and B. They didn't know that they were at risk. A lot of people really felt that unless they had a bullet hole going through their hand, that they were safe to put that hand in blood. They didn't understand the risk factor. And they didn't understand that it was really serious. And they couldn't seem to quite grasp that it was free. They always felt like there was a little catch to that. So when we marketed to the employees, we found the best way to really approach them, of course, how do you like that tattoo? We're so proud of that guy. Is we had to go through the employers. And what we did is we gave the employers a lot of handout information that they could disseminate to their employees, and we gave them updates. There are special handouts that actually have to do with the risk factor of hepatitis B for hospitality workers, and we were giving them those. We also made ourselves available for questions after the bloodborne pathogen class. And when they came in to get vaccinated, we would let them know, we would re-educate them, talk to them, and give them information to help disseminate to the other employees to improve that social diffusion. Love that vaccine. He goes, you got to take the shot in this arm. You got to give it to me over here. So for cost recovery for all this, what we would do is when they talk to us and we decide we're going to have a contract. Now understand, for the workplace vaccine, we only work from contract. No one can come to us and go, I want a hepatitis B. If they do, they have to go to the regular vaccination clinic with the children. But if they come to us, they have a contract signed by whoever their financial person is. And in that, when we send the contract, we send them the information on the vaccine, you know, when and how many doses. We send them the fees. We send them our site fees. We can also have the employees come in to us if it's a small facility and they don't want to pay site fees. With a letter of authorization, they can send their employees to us to get the vaccine. At the end of the month, we send them a billing for everybody that came. We also send them a spreadsheet that includes who came in, which vaccine they received, when the next one's due. And that's working very well. We've never had anybody not pay their bill yet. Now, this graph I'm going to go over, this is what we found in our research. And we found that the hospitals, labs, funeral parlors, they're 100% compliant, but they're very, very used to being regulated. So there were no issues there, and we left them alone. On the resorts, we found that they have what you call risk manager safety coordinators. These people are experts on OSHA regulations and employee safety. When we talked to them, they knew it, they had it in place, but they were asking us very, very specific questions, like do they have to do titers? And again, record keeping. These facilities are huge, 10,000, 12,000 employees. What do they do with these records that they've had for 10 years? It's difficult for them. Of the ones that didn't have it, they actually weren't open. Now for the hotels, and by that I mean the non-gaming hotels, for us that would be like Embassy Suites and those kind of things. A third of them were compliant, they were fine. Now of the rest, 20% of the ones that were non-compliant were ready for change, and just with a little education, with the mailings and talking to them, they were referred to SCATs. They got their training and they're coming back to us now to have the vaccines. Now with the daycares, believe it or not, it was actually the same. Even though it says 20%, we had 15% of them that thought they had the program, but they had something very strange going on. And so they had about a third of them that either knew or thought they knew what was going on. Of the ones that didn't, it was the same percentage, 20%, which were ready for the change, were sent to SCATS for the training, and are now coming back. So it seems that that's probably just in many industries, that'll probably be a realistic percentage to expect that 20% of them will want to start following the regulations. So what we've learned from the health cards, the backbone, the main ingredient of that is the mandate. It works unbelievably. We are having, and this is where I want to talk about the counterfeit, we are having real issues with counterfeits. They're collected all the time, the counterfeit ones. What we're doing is we're changing the embedded codes. I know one that we have now that's being changed in a month is we have like under a black light, a watermark that shows up. But they're changing all that. And that's the only reason I'm telling you is because we're changing it. But we also have sting operations because these people pay like $300. Well, they're undocumented, most of these people. But they're paying $300 for an illegal card. And the worst thing about this is they're getting a vaccination. They're getting an injection of something. So we're doing sting operations on that with the police. We also have education classes for those that want the exemptions. And once they have that, then they can go ahead and have their exemption. And starting in April, we're going to be putting no vax on the health cards for those that did receive the vaccination and have no hepatitis A status. Now, for the hepatitis B, this I want to spend a little bit of time on. the mandate really, it gave us the backbone, it gave us the way to go out in the community. It has been, you know, unbelievably fantastic. And we've learned, though, that we need to have a braided services here because this really helps, you know, getting out there to widen our field of opportunities and stuff. Our liaisons with the SCATs and with the environmental is great, but we're also now starting to work with different area educators and safety engineers and other employer groups that help us get the information out. We do have competition. There are actually two other companies that do this, but the issue we're having with that, not that they're not doing them, but the fact that there's no records of what they do. They do them, they keep their own records. Some of them will not give a record. We've seen some facilities records that are actually sign-in sheets with like everybody's signature and a lot number and a date. And they just have stacks of these, and we're trying to figure out what's going on with them. So there are a lot of issues with that. It is an offered, not a required vaccine. So increased awareness is paramount. And one of the things we need to add here, and we're working on adding, is doing the commitments from the employees and the incentives to help the employees really want to get on board, you know, that old peer pressure, to really get them going and create the community-based social marketing. We've expanded to a lot of non-targeted industries like linen companies, animal control, grounds crews. They do find a lot of syringes when they do a lawn service and stuff, believe it or not. So we're moving into a lot of those areas. And we also, the unions, we've had some unions approach us. They're becoming much more proactive and preventative. And we did a thing for a union just last month, and we have, I think, five more unions now that are online. And they want us to vaccinate for all adult immunizations. And we've expanded to other vaccines. We basically do almost any vaccine. We're doing the tetanus, we do the Twinrix, we do the rabies, we do TB testing even. So we're really expanding this. And I think this one shows a lot of opportunity for growth and change to help us meet like the Healthy People 220. We can use this really to meet the community need of adult immunizations. And hopefully it'll go through the employer, so a lot of this burden doesn't go on the employee. Of course, if funding and finances change, that would be terrific. But I think this one shows the most opportunity to meet everybody's needs, although the other one is very self-sustaining. So that's it. If you have any questions, that's how to contact us. Thank you.